D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss.
The heat at the boss.
They doing real good.
I always look good. The gang's back together, baby.
They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Sense Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
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 These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Right on the field. We saw it. We observed it.
He did.
Perv.
Saints. Diaz and B-Boys. I love this book.
There it is. There it is. Welcome in another week, another edition, the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live here at the SEC Sports Pub. With me, to my right, Heath Elsenson. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And for the next 2 hours, from Ruston to Monroe, from Farmer Bill to Jonesboro, grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're about to do the SEC Sports Pub and Sports Talk 97.7 BS and Beer style. Gentlemen, how you feeling today? Listen, the Saints come out. They win 31-24, was it? 26.
26.
I couldn't even remember.
Yeah.
It's exciting stuff. Matter of fact, I made this specifically for Cam Newton.
All right.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are.
Cam Newton, why aren't you going to Disneyland?
And I'm a loser.
That's right. He's a loser.
At least you know who he is.
No, you gotta know who you are, man. Throw that in there. I feel like a DJ right now. I'm mixing it all in there.
I guess the Titanic didn't keep going this time.
Huh? No, it's like the Titanic. As far as what Cam Newton says, the Titanic, sometimes it hits that iceberg and it stops. Although Cam Newton
stops, right?
No, Cam Newton thinks you gotta be like the Titanic and keep going.
Yeah.
But despite all the excitement, I got to tell you, it wasn't all rainbows and butterflies. All right, there was
rainbows and butterflies.
Listen, at the SEC, there was high drama. Now, I'm not going to say any names. I'm not calling any names. But there were some people, they weren't too happy. Matter of fact, I got some audio of that I want y'all to listen to.
Well, that's great. That's just f***ing great, man. Now what the f*** are we supposed to do? There's some real pretty s*** now, man.
Oh, and that wasn't it. After Breeze threw that interception when we went for it on fourth down.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the f*** do we do now? What are we going to do?
Hey, man, I'm telling you, it was not a party at the SEC, man. Like I said, I'm not saying any names. I'm not saying anything. But, boy, there was some people were not optimistic. Yeah. I would say they were not optimistic.
I don't know who that was, but
game over, man. What are we gonna do now? Okay, so listen, we got all kinds of stuff to
didn't
talk
sound
about.
Like me,
initially, I guess maybe I've seen it before. I think I commented on it before, but it's hard not to at least make a comment about Ron Revere and that lazy eye thing when he looks up at the refs and that one eye is kind of this way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. Yeah, it's just like it's hard to stay focused, you know, like coach, and he's all upset about, you know, Cam Newton and his antics and was it intentional grounding, and he's looking at you.
Well,
and
I think that's why he thought he was still in the tackle box, because that eye is off. Yeah, right.
the other thing, too, is I'm wondering if, like, the referee said he didn't get an answer, right? I'm wondering if the referee didn't realize he was looking at him. So by the time he got we're gonna talk about that intentional grounding. Matter of fact, another thing that I want to talk to you guys about, Cam Newton gets smoked by David Onyemata.
You Canadian?
I love that. Yeah.
All right, hosers, I want all 12 of us fighting for every meter on all three downs. And we're going to make this a boxing day the prime minister will never forget.
Hey, David Onyemata, you know, hey, Tomas, I wrote that article about him at the beginning of the season.
A long time ago.
I said, listen, whether he doesn't play another snap in the NFL, he's one of my top favorite players of all time. Yeah. He lays out Cam Newton, but apparently it wasn't a concussion. Now we have to talk about that,
right?
Because one of the things, one of the things I want to talk about is how smart was. I mean, listen, if Drew Brees gets hit with a concussion, I think they find what's his name over in Seattle, Wilson,
and Seattle $100,000.
The coaching staff and the medical staff.
Yeah. So if you pull, Drew Brees out of the game, game's over. We lose. Or do you say, you know what? I'll pay that $100,000. Get back in the game. So, you know, we got to talk about that. He wasn't coming out the game. They're like, oh, I'm sorry. Were we supposed the concussion thing. Yeah, I forgot. You know,
no, the visor hit me in the eye.
Yeah, it wasn't a concussion. Something hit
so that's lots of stuff we're going to talk about. Casey Kasem, we're going to be playing them this weekend. So we're going to have to talk a little bit
top
about
40.
Him. Yeah, it's top 40. Now for a long-distance dedication.
Yeah.
Anyway, then we have, like, our impact players of the game. Coleman Hill again. You know, we got to touch on them.
Don't forget about Line.
Line. I'm telling you, the Carolina Panthers defensive coordinators stayed up all night preparing to stop Line.
Yeah.
And Coleman and Hill.
Yep.
And they couldn't get it done.
Yep.
And that could be a large reason why we didn't.
Many
they didn't win this game.
Sleepless nights this week coming up from Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota's not working on the same situation.
Yeah, they
you can't
be.
Stop Line. You can only hope to contain them.
You can only hope to contain them.
That's
all right,
correct.
Hey, I tell you what. Let's get this show started, man. There's, I mean, just action-packed, full of stuff. I don't know if we can do it all in 2 hours.
Probably not.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. Followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, Tomas, I got an email from Lord Boudreau.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently his name's Patrick, but or else he's smart enough to send me an email and be like, oh, hey, man, my name's Patrick. I'm Lord Boudreau. Send me my money.
So
I might have to confirm that. But where's old Lord Boudreau?
Number one.
He's counting his chickens before they hatch. He didn't send me the address, but he just, this email is pretty much just.
Well, just remember, you got to have the code words.
Got to have
and
the code
words. And if he says one word incorrectly, pronounces it incorrectly.
That particular word, not one of the words.
One
particular word, you have to pronounce it correctly.
That's correct. If you don't.
Let me keep remind everybody who listened to the show last year.
Yeah.
The person who came in first place.
That's correct.
Did not actually win the money.
That's right.
The money went to Lil Dice, and he was the second guy. Now, here's the thing. The first person. They were, oh, I won, and they all excited and emailing me, thank you. So I said, well, okay, just send me those code words, and we'll get that out to you. Now, maybe I need to clarify the code words, because we want the people who actually listen to the show to win the money, not just somebody jumps in the Pick'em League. So it was a female, and she says, code words? And she's like, well, I don't, and started giving me the stuff. I said, well, you know, listen, you got to give me the code words. And she's like, well, I don't, I said, look, we don't need them all. Like, I'm not trying to keep you from winning your money. But she had no clue what a code word was. And I'm like, listen, all you got to do is listen to the show. You would know what a code word is. If you don't know what the code word is, that means you haven't listened to the show.
Right.
So, you know, unfortunately, she didn't get the money. So just kind of explaining that. Make sure that you have your code words all. And we don't give a code word out every week.
No, it's just every once in a while.
I guess in a way, we just kind of tricking everybody to actually have to listen to the
when
show.
When spirit moves us.
Yeah. Or you know what?
We're supposed to issue a code word every week. We don't. Just don't do it.
So if you're like, man, I only got like seven of them. That's about all we gave out. Like we say it too every week. We're gonna try, but we never get around to it.
But the ones that we have are really good.
Oh yeah, that's the whole point. If it's not a good one, what's the point of just doing anything?
That's right.
But anyway, go ahead.
So Lord Boudreau is up. He's in first place by 1 point, ahead of Rob 22278 and The Bridge 127. Both of those, they're both tied for second. In third place by himself. That would be BS and Beer Tomas.
Oh, Tomas.
But I've dropped now. You see, I'm now in third now.
Yeah, because you only get one right this week?
Yeah, I only got one.
But whoever's in fourth place is probably like all giddy right now. Like, yeah, I'll get
that'd
one of those
Captain
Lord Boudreau
Cheesy.
Emails.
Captain Cheesy.
Yeah. Captain Cheesy, you in the money, baby. You in the money.
And then Fournette, Fix, and Chill. Next up. And did you ever get an email from the one that we can't figure out, the OGHB?
No, I don't believe I did.
All right. Well, you know what? The top one.
Actually, and I apologize because I got a tweet from somebody, and they were explaining their name, and I forgot who it was. But anyway, hey, it's 97.7, the BS and Beer podcast. What is it, how they say it? We are Fox Sports. Just getting it cranked up. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
It's a party. It's a dance party. Similar to the one that Benson and Peyton were having in the locker room.
Woo, you see that dancing going on, man?
Man, that was I don't know what to think about that.
This was Sean.
I mean, yeah, Sean's over there.
I have no idea.
He's dancing. He's going this way. Yeah. And then he's going. And Benson's just standing. I think one guy I saw the picture was just standing there looking like Mark Ingram. And I tell you what, Mark Ingram is a funny guy.
He really is.
Sports Talk 97.7 and the BS and Beer Podcast. Welcome back. Listen, wall-to-wall Saints talk. But back to what I was saying. Okay, I don't care for Deion Sanders that much. But, you know, all the win and excitement, I turn it on, and he's doing the thing where they Skype.
When you Mark ball Ingram, out, brother.
Yeah, when you ball, you get the call, baby. Yeah. Okay, so Mark Ingram is hilarious. Yeah. And, I mean, you know, you wouldn't know it because my impression of him is kind of uptight and, you know, like, you know, there's Mark and he only gets 2 yards and he's slamming the ball down. He's But, man, he is hilarious. Yeah, his personality is just is hilarious. Now, in the picture, Mark Ingram is holding the broom and giving it to Benson or kind of helping him. And there's another guy, and it might be Tommy Lee. I'm thinking it's who it was because I didn't really recognize his face that much. And he's, like, standing there kind of with his hands out. And I think he was just in case that the broom toppled Benson over that he'd be there to catch him. Because, I mean, I have no idea. Yeah. But Benson just kind of had – and, I mean, they're having a good old time. And it brings up the question, all this – I mean, the Times-Picayune, their headline was Carolina already found their new owner.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, and the dancing and the brooms. I mean, I got to tell you, man, they've given plenty – of locker room bulletin board material for next year.
Oh, definitely. But I don't know that it'll help Carolina any, but
I tell you what, we have the money, we have the resources.
Yeah.
We're going to be a better team next year, Carolina's not going to be behind it. Matter of fact, I had the opportunity to interview Cam Newton after the game, took some vicious hits. It's a little strange, but you want to check this out. Cam, can you tell us how you're feeling today after taking all those vicious hits during the game?
Yeah, I haven't had an opportunity to see any others, but looking forward to, and also just the overall, led by.
Cam, you seem a little disoriented. I mean, do you even know why you're here today?
You know, my job is, you know, that's why I'm here. That's why everybody is in for my focus right now, because I'm the referee.
Cam, did you say you were the referee?
Well, I can't mourn or can't dwell on things that happened, you know.
Cam, have you been doing drugs?
I feel as if, you know, led by, it's been times that I've been taking hits, but that's understandable.
Cam, hits of what?
You know, the type of hits that I'm taking. And also, just the overall, I haven't had an opportunity to see any others, looking forward to.
There you go. Cam Newton after the game, on your mata, puts it on him. And Cam seemed a little disoriented.
Yeah.
I don't think he exactly knew what he was talking about.
That visor, man. That visor.
The visor got him. Yeah. The visor got him. So, I tell you what, there is so much to talk about. Do we want to jump into the good and the bad and the ugly? Or, I mean, just go down the list. Listen. We have John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles coming with us today, like he usually does, in the third segment. But I wasn't even worried about anything else because we have so much to talk about.
All right.
So I tell you what, let's jump into the good, the bad, and the ugly. Then we can just go down the list. We also have 4 hotline calls today. Which,
wow.
Listen, we usually get 2 or 3. Rich. That's like a 25 to 50% increase in call volume right up there. And, you know, CamaFed, it was on Twitter. People were asking for some camera fed, and I told them that the operators were standing by, so I got to check the report, see how much we sold this weekend. We can supplement our incomes with that. I mean, it's crazy. Now, listen, next thing you know, Don Bobo is going to be over there, and we're going to start generating some, what is it, some tights? Am I saying? I always struggle with that, Tomas. What is it, some tights? Some tights?
No? I don't know that you speak with a lisp, but I don't know what it is.
Some tights? Anyway, no, I'm wrong. You can help me or not?
Tithes.
Just, some tithes. Okay, I kind of just want to make sure that I'm saying it right, so I kind of ease into it. I don't just say it, because then you make fun of me and laugh.
I don't make fun of you, bro.
You make fun of me all the time.
I do not.
All right, so
you're
good.
You're just self-conscious, brother.
I'm a little insecure, you know. I'm sensitive like that. All right, let's
wake you.
You're right. Let me get to that good and the bad nugget.
All right.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
All right, Tomas, we're going to start with you. Give me your good.
All right, well, my good is this. My being hangry is kind of going away. I've lost 6.5 pounds in the first week of the diet. So
nice.
That's my good.
Yeah.
We're talking Saints. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, my good would be this. When all else fails, we still have a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yes, sir.
And so when Carolina came out and said, we're going to dare you to beat us with the pass, we're going to put 8-9 in the box, whatever it happens to be. Okay, fine. Thanks very much. We'll find people who are open, and we'll throw people open. And before you know it, matter of fact, my favorite play of the game by Drew Brees is when he rolled out. It was like a young man again. He rolled out to the side, threw that ball, had some zip on it. Man, I was like, yeah, well, that's a great game plan. So to me, my good is Drew Brees.
Here's the thing.
And how he called the game. Not Drew Brees, the quarterback necessarily, but how he was able to adjust his calls in the game to get us in the right place. There you go.
Some people thought, you know, and Drew Brees getting to the end of his career, what he did today is prove that, and you just talked about his athleticism. While he's not the athlete he used to be, if you're old enough to remember Bernie Kosar, if Drew can do what he can do, that tells me he's still got about 10, 12, 15 years left before he has to stick that right foot out to be able to. I mean, Bernie Kosar could not put his feet parallel to one another and take the snap. He had to have one foot already back just to get out of the pocket. Yeah. So for all you young people don't know what I'm talking about.
Look it up.
So I feel like, hey, Brees can do what he did.
Wasn't that the last quarterback that the Browns actually had who could win a game?
That might have been. They could, based on what I said, they could bring him out of retirement. Probably wouldn't be too much different. Listen, the thing about it is, when in the world, who would have ever thought that a defense would get to the point where they say, you know what, we're going to force Drew Brees to beat us.
Yeah, I know.
And I mean, it's just ridiculous. What? I mean, even if Drew, but what he's proved to me several times this year, is that if the Saints wanted to go back, you know, get rid of Kamara or maybe get rid of Ingram, trade an offensive lineman so we can't run the ball as well, and get a dynamic pass-catching tight end or another receiver, that he probably still has a few years left of throwing for 5,000 yards. Maybe we won't win, but the point is Drew Brees.
Yeah, but it's even better now because we do have Kamara and Ingram in the backfield.
Yeah, my point
is
this.
So he can be more
picky,
more
choosy. Drew Brees is the same player he's always been.
Yeah.
It's just now that he doesn't have to be. And to know that when he needs to be, he can, it's a reassuring feeling. And one more thing on that, I even said it to you, Heath. Something about when I can't remember Drew Brees playing a bad playoff game. I'm not saying it never happened. But I cannot remember a game because, you know, Drew Brees will throw his stinkers in every once in a while. It seems like Tampa Bay, not this year, but in years past, it's like 3 interceptions or something. He always has one or two really bad games.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I cannot recall a playoff game where I said, my God, Drew Brees cost us that game.
No, I can't really either.
So it's good to know, and it's very reassuring. Heath, give me a good.
Well, my good is Lutz.
Well,
57-yard field goal or whatever it was. It was kind of strange because it's not that often you see teams trade 58 and 57-yard field goals on consecutive possessions.
Huge kick.
But, yeah, it was a big, big kick. And, man, I mean, it would have been good from a you know, longer distance than that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, well, that's because he didn't go to Alabama. But that's right, go ahead.
But we got a kicker.
That's
you know,
right.
And that's been one of the struggles in years past.
Yes.
And you really don't know how big of an impact – a kicker will have. Think about this. So the opening Carolina's opening drive, they move the ball down the field. They throw a ball into the end zone. It's dropped. Then they bring out the kicker, and he misses a field goal. You have no idea what might have happened had that field goal been made. Now, I'm not one to believe that something that happened on the first, you know, 10 minutes of the game is going to affect, because you could score two touchdowns and maybe just make the other team mad. So the
you
game is not
28
over.
To 3 and still come back.
Right. Things like that happen, I've heard.
Yeah,
so
do.
That's a good point, Tomas. So, but the thing about it is, when you have a kicker and you never know, he makes that field goal, maybe it changes the complexion of the game. And I'm really trying to illustrate how in years past, who knows what having a guy like Lutz or any good kicker on your team would have changed, you know, two or three wins a season because they didn't miss that field goal
remember,
that kept you in the game.
In the Super Bowl that we won, Hartley came in and kicked four field goals in that Super Bowl.
All 40 yards or more.
That's correct. And because he had the leg and he had the confidence and everything was there.
And kicks he made to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
it wasn't just the
that's
Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, he was huge there for a guy that hasn't, you know, that didn't last.
Yeah, no, man. I hope Lutz is not that guy. I hope
need
a kicker.
He's already done more than Hartley did.
Yeah, and he's got better mechanics.
But for that year, I mean, that Super Bowl
year, it was huge. Yeah,
it was huge. So, all right, so moving on, let's go to the bad, Tomas.
Well, here's what I'm going to say to you. You know, I love avocados.
Come on.
But, you know, when we're talking about avocados on a human being, I appreciate that Sean Payton has big avocados. But, brother, you can't always push the limit. I know. Fourth down, we're like spectacular. What are we like, you know, 97% conversion on fourth down? I understand, but dude, you got the greatest punter in the NFL. The guy who can put it out on a 1 yard line. Let him drive 99 yards. Our defense wasn't whipped like it was in the previous game where they had no gas left.
Right.
Our defense still had gas left. So to me, the bad was the choice of Sean Payton to not just go for it, but to call a timeout and then go for it.
Right. Oh, I mean, because right there, Heath was like,
"Oh God!"
Before that play, whenever they just went in and hurt, he's like,
ignorant.
"What are you?" I'm like,
ignorant.
"Listen, what happens? Who cares if they? I mean, where they're
right,
out in the field?
If they jump, we get the five.
Yeah, if they don't, okay, you know, you never. But then they call a timeout.
Yeah,
like, all right, let's go for it,
and then actually go. Oh God, don't even get me.
No,
started
that's when
again.
That's when the tirade started. I mean, Heath was in rare form. I said I wasn't gonna say names, but he was like. Oh, he was mad, boy.
He was just not having it. Yeah.
So, but
that's
anyway,
my bad.
So, you know what? I could take the other point.
His big avocados came up guacamole in that situation.
That's correct. That's correct. Matt is absolutely right.
Well, yeah, and it came up bad, and then there's the whole controversy. You know, I try not to be a drama queen. I'm not one of those people who create.
Was it really
a story.
An interception?
Well, it wasn't, and it was about 17 yards of field position. And it is amazing with all the issues we have now. Is this a catch? Is that a catch? And, you know, we've had that discussion.
Yeah.
But they just going to let a guy, like, grab the ball, drop it, and be like, that's fine, right here. Yeah, that's no, come on, let's play ball.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, you spend like all day reviewing the simplest little things, and then, oh, and I'm like, man, I need to get a beer. I mean, and then all of a sudden, this play happens, and like, you know, arguably some of the most important time
of the
game.
Did you have 6 beers at the game, by the way?
No, I don't think I had little beers. I was drinking little beers. I didn't want to get too drunk. I have a habit of nervous drinking.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I don't, so I just got little beers. I'd get like just a half.
I didn't get little beers.
No, and I tell you what, boy. Okay, so let's move along. Heath, give me your bad.
Well, I have all kind of ways I could go here.
Yes, you
all
do,
right.
Sir.
But this is where I'm going to go is losing Pete. In this game.
See, I forgot about
that. That was my ugly, but okay, go ahead.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, well, it definitely would qualify as an ugly as well because, you know, even though Carolina was stacking the box against the run, there's no doubt in my mind that not having Pete affected our ability to run because Pete is a mauler in the run game.
Absolutely. Yep.
But even more importantly is going forward.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big loss at this point in the season.
You know what? I can't agree with you more. Pete is just an absolute mauler, huge in the run game. I still think we can be effective, but listen, there is a point when you just cannot continue to lose guys who are top five at their position. Luckily, we have a guy who is a solid reserve, but he is not the
same.
But
he's banged up.
Yeah, and that's right. Even in that game, didn't he have a couple of instances where he, you know, listen, so we kind of, especially at that one position, what worries me more than all of this is now we lost the flexibility when Armstead gets banged up, and it's almost inevitable that and I shouldn't say it that way. Just, man, odds are not in our favor that Armstead will make it through two more games. What would that be? Three more games to win the Super Bowl. So that would be, because to me, that could derail the entire the entire season. But what we should do is maybe get some we can, this is the time, right? I mean, look, we need to say some prayers, some homage.
Yeah. We need the juju now.
Listen, that's right. Operators are standing by. Normally, you've listened to the show. Tomas, you know, 49.95. I don't think that's too much to ask to keep a man healthy.
No.
Today, only. If you call in the next hour, 15.95 right now. We can do it. Now, of course, we can't guarantee anything.
That's right.
You can't buy health. That's just, you know, you can get a good dental plan. You can get a medical plan. But today for $15.95, we'll keep them healthy. So, so anyway, who's next? Now you got me all confused.
Is
it me?
All right. So my bad, McCaffrey breaking off that long run. Listen, in that situation, what you're trying to do is have them chew up time and chew up yardage. You want to give them the ball in front of you, and that's what the Saints were trying to do. It's like, hey, I'll give you the 8 yards, tackle you, run the clock down.
Yeah.
And I got to say, that was one of the most accurate passes I've ever seen Cam Newton throw. They showed it from behind. He threw the ball on time before he broke. It was a great play, but it was an ugly for us. Hey, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Thelson, San Tomas Mauricio. Don't go anywhere. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free. The BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We are Fox Sports. This is when we bring in John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles to our graffiti hotline. Before I get to John, I want to tell you guys, we got several hotline calls today. Everybody's excited. The Saints are winning in the playoffs. Be part of that number. Give us a call, 701-901-1295. For those of you who've always wanted to do it, but I don't know. Listen, it's so easy. All you got to do, call 701-901-1295. It's a recorded message, okay? You tell us what you're thinking, what you're excited about. There's no hold. There's no waiting for the producer to get you on. All you do is leave your thoughts, and then we're going to put it on the show, and the whole world's going to hear it. So give us a call. Again, 701-901-1295. It's the easiest way to get on the radio there is in all of sports talk radio or any other kind of radio. You can also hit us up on Twitter, SaintsBS is how you contact me. And then you can, the old-fashioned way, email. That's bsandbeer@icloud.com. bsandbeer@icloud.com. 701-901-1295. Get in touch with us. Communicate. We want to hear from you. Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's head over to the graffiti hotline, bring in John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, it seemed like we were controlling the game for the first three quarters. Then all of a sudden, it's when the fireworks started. It got exciting.
Yeah, maybe a little bit too exciting. But look, I'm just glad we could talk about the Saints for another week, and they're still in it. But it's a little bit uneasy feeling. I'll tell you, they're sitting there in the press box and just kind of seeing what was unfolding, and you're like, you know, you get a sense of relief once Alvin Kamara punches it in and they have that good counter drive. And then here comes Christian McCaffrey and Cam Newton. You know, it was just an interesting way it turned out. And, man, look, I dare say they're fortunate to get away winning that game because, you know, look in the past, those are games that New Orleans drops. And that would have been a heartbreaker, but they held on, they finished, and we're going to Minnesota.
You know, I think one of the things that makes people who've been Saints fans, follow the Saints for a long time, make them uncomfortable, because since Drew Brees and Sean Payton have been there, we've played this game of we just outscore everybody. And I don't think everyone's quite comfortable with the whole control the game, manage the game kind of thing, which is essentially what we've become this year. We run the ball. We don't put ourselves in a position where we can make mistakes or have a big turnover. And every once in a while, you're controlling the game and it's working. But when you keep the game that close, the other guys make a big play like McCaffrey made. You referred to it a little bit ago in the fourth quarter against a defense that you're kind of expecting them to, you know, like let's help them run the clock out. Let's just let them complete balls in front of us and use up the clock. And the next thing you know, McCaffrey's blown up like a 60-yard reception. And all of a sudden, the game's a lot tighter than you'd hoped it'd be.
Yeah, and you know, it's crazy because, you know, he gets that, and Sean Payton goes for it on fourth down. And look, he said he had a play call in mind. He talked to Drew Brees about it. I was kind of, you know, on one hand, it's one of those calls that, man, they make the first down, they run out the clock, no problem. We're not even worried about it. But unfortunately, didn't work out that way. They kind of got benefited because Mike Adams ended up picking the ball off, and they had less to start with. But, look, this is another game, Dave, that this defense finishes. I think Saints fans, you know, I think we were waiting. We keep waiting for, I guess, the defense to just let it go or to just kind of give up. But, you know, look, this team has won another game at home. And a defense really rose to the challenge when they needed it most. Cam Jordan doing his thing. I mean, he's just hit another level. Von Bell getting the ending sack. I mean, it was just enough of what the Saints defense has done, and it's kind of a patch defense because they're missing so many people. And, look, you got to be encouraged by that.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things I was encouraged by, and I've been talking about this for, I don't know, it might be half the season now, is that it seemed like the Saints – didn't have the wealth of playmakers that they've had in the past. It was basically, it seemed like it turned into Kamara, Ingram, and then you throw the ball to Thomas, and that was all we had. But now in retrospect, it seems like because we run the ball so well, there's not that many balls to go around. But when we need to, all of a sudden, here comes a guy like, I'm sorry, Josh Hill. Here comes a guy like Coleman, who for the entire season, for his entire career, we call him one a day. He catches one ball, maybe two, but for the most part, I mean, the guy came up big, if I'm not mistaken, five receptions. Ted Ginn had 100 and some odd yards. And then Hill came up big with not only a touchdown reception, but a huge play that showed a lot of athleticism over the middle of the field in the seam.
Yeah, look, and here's where it gets dangerous for the Saints, and we've talked about this for weeks and weeks and weeks ago, is the fact that you can try to take Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram out of the game, which Carolina did for the most part, and then you still got to worry about Drew Brees, and postseason Drew Brees is just hits another level. I mean, you know, the fact is that he's I don't want to say he's perfect, but he's just goes into that elite mode that we know him for, that everybody else wants to downplay and doubt and say he's washed up. But he was going through it, and Michael Thomas was on point. You know, I kind of joked and said, man, Michael Thomas needs to become the next Larry Fitzgerald of the postseason. And look, I think he had a great game personally. And then Ted Ginn, you hit the, you know, open things up offensively with his 80-yard bomb. Brandon Coleman, you know, he did kind of luck out by putting one on the ground, and Mark Ingram was there to save him. But you know, I feel like that's really going to be the big thing against the Vikings, is they showed the Vikings that you can look at all the film with Kamara and Ingram on it, but you still got to worry about this Drew Brees guy going into this matchup Sunday.
When would we have ever thought that a team would look at us as the Saints and say, I tell you what, we're going to stop that run and make Drew Brees beat us? I never thought I'd see the day come where a team would actually game plan that way, but that's exactly what Carolina did, and then Drew Brees made him pay for it. For the first, I don't know, two series or so, we could get nothing going. But these guys, and I'm talking about Carolina's defense, they picked a gap, they played a little bare front, they did everything they could to say, you're not running the ball. And then all of a sudden, Drew Brees pulls the top off of it, and all of a sudden it forces Carolina to back off the line of scrimmage. Now, I'm going to switch gears a little bit because you've already talked about Minnesota. Now, Carolina, if I'm not mistaken, had about the seventh-ranked defense in the league. Now we're moving on to a team that's one or two in the league and are extremely hard to move the ball on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what automatically comes to mind for me is points are going to be hard to come by, and, you know, your third down offense has got to get it going. I mean, you know, they were still pretty bad against the Panthers, and, you know, you can't afford that against the Vikings. I think this game comes down to all about the opportunities, right, is the fact that you're going to have some opportunities. I don't expect the Vikings to completely shut down Drew Brees. I know the week one matchup is some people will go to, but these are two totally different teams, and New Orleans especially. I mean, there's some 12 guys, at least by my count, that aren't going to be in this game that were in the week one matchup on the roster. And so, you know, I feel like the Saints team, they got a big monkey off their back by winning this game. They're very hungry. They want to go into Minnesota and set some tempo and establish some rhythm early. I think the Vikings, even though they've been the team and been those guys, it's Mike Zimmer's trying to get Case Keenum to settle into a groove. So maybe he comes out and has some jitters, and the Saints have really got to hone in on that and kind of put their foot on the gas and just not let go.
I'm on the graffiti hotline with John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, You just referred to Case Keenum, and I think it's ironic because this morning I was watching one of the network shows, and they started showing Case Keenum from his days with the Texans. And, man, it would be nice as a Saints fan if that Case Keenum would show up.
Yeah, it sure would. And, you know, if I'm the Vikings and I'm going to set up a rhythm or tempo to help Case Keenum in this game, I'm going to rely heavily on two players, Adam Thielen and Kyle Rudolph. And you saw what Greg Olsen was able to do against the Saints. Now, they did have some problems communicating in that game because the fans were so loud that, you know, there was some coverage that were busted. I think that helps kind of play into them for their defense a little bit, as weird as that sounds. But, you know, overall, they've got to figure out a way to really get after Case Keenum, make him make some bad throws. I know he's looked good. I think he's been a very pleasant surprise, even though, you know, you've got Teddy Bridgewater out there and Sam Bradford. You know, it's just a crazy thought that he's the guy. He's the hot hand. And, look, it would be nice if you get the Texans Case Keenum there, because the Saints could realistically come out of that game and host the NFC Championship. That would be amazing. And there's a lot of fans there that know this rivalry dates back a long time, obviously, and there's no hard feelings or a lot of hard feelings and a lot of tears and emotions that go into this one.
Absolutely. I think that we're seeing a lot of stuff on the internet about the how the fans are feeling. Now, I want to get into a question here before I let you go about matchups. How do you see the Saints have two good corners? One of them is an all-pro level corner in Lattimore. Do you see him matching up with Thielen or Diggs, the one of the great receivers for the Vikings?
I think for me personally, because, you know, you got to remember Ken Crawley wasn't in this matchup to begin with too. I feel like if you're going to get somebody to beat you, it's going to be Thielen, because the way that the Vikings use him, I would honestly think Lattimore stays with him and hovers around him. You know, of course, that remains to be seen. And, you know, Crawley's proven that, you know, he can go up against some of the other receivers. And look, I think this is where the safety help over the top is going to be really important. You know, you can kind of leave Lattimore by himself. That's not a problem. And Williams will probably help support Crawley no matter who they defend against. But if I'm the Saints and I'm looking at how the Vikings offense is kind of taking over, you got to put Lattimore on Thielen.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but I think that's a question that going up to game day that's really going to be interesting is how they're going to match up. Anyway, John, as usual, thank you for your insight. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you hopefully next week after another big Saints victory.
Absolutely. Let's hope.
Take care, my friend. That's John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles, man. You can get on the internet, look those guys up. Man, there's always some good reads, some interesting articles. He's there in the press box. Game day, he's talking to the coaches, he's talking to the players. Great insight. Anyway, hey, it's Sports Talk 97.7 FM and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. There's more Saints playoff news to talk about.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
I can just envision Tom Benson dancing in the locker room after the game right now. That's what I'm seeing.
I don't want to. I really don't want to.
I'll tell you what, Tomas, since you, as usual, it's like you just don't even want to do your job. We got a hotline.
Oh, what's that number, Dave?
That number is 701-901-1295. Let me tell you about it, Tomas and Heath. What you do is you just call that number. You call it anytime you want. Day, night. No hold. There's no producer that takes it because we can't afford a producer because Don Bobo hasn't bringing in the revenue that we've been expecting.
No money.
Now, I'm expecting to get some CamaFed income going on, but I still got to check the operators over at the warehouse, see how things are going. But here's how. There's no waiting. You just call. You leave your thoughts. Man, I always recommend that you call, like, right after the game. And, you know, like, you should be leaving the dome and calling and yelling, who that into the phone, and we can put you on the air, and you get – what we do, we mass communicate,
yeah,
and we broadcast. All right, you can get mass communicated and broadcasted. All you got to do is just give us a call. Hotline. Matter of fact, I'm going to put a hotline call on right now.
Hey, what's up, David and Saints BS crew? This is Clarence from North Carolina.
Sounds like first time caller.
I've been a Saints fan for 30 plus years now.
He's old. Like
my question is more about a comment. What is wrong with Brandon Coleman? Dude fumbled the ball twice the last game.
Oh, this is a good call.
Then here we go, playoff game, and he holds the ball like a loaf of bread and fumbles it again. I think it's more of a mental thing with him. We got to get him out of there. I'm just done with him because every time he catches the ball, I'm holding my breath like, please, please don't fumble the ball. Every time. It's ridiculous. So I'd rather we got to get rid of him. I could see this happening in a crucial situation. Maybe the next game, hopefully not. Super Bowl, NFC Championship. So anyway, thank you for listening, and I'm a big fan of you guys. Thank you.
Some things are healthy to talk about. One a day men's.
Yes, Clarence, first time caller. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Don't be a stranger. Call in, and thank you for listening to the show and being a supporter. Tomas, I have already said I think the Saints need to upgrade their wide receiver core. Having said that, Clarence, I was livid. But on the other hand, we needed somebody to help out, and quite frankly, he's probably had the best game that he's had as a Saint.
Yeah,
that's true.
The only problem is, if it wouldn't be for Mark Ingram picking up his fumble, who knows? Back to the who knows where we would be if Mark Ingram doesn't recover the fumble. And here's the thing. It's one thing. Even in his first two fumbles a couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
They were both big hits. They were both, you don't want to hold the ball. But you could almost justify him if you're trying to be reasonable. What he did, especially the fact that he had not even gotten a look since those two fumbles. He finally, the Saints implement him into the game plan. Drew Brees demonstrates some confidence in him, and then he's carrying the ball I hate to use the loaf of bread analogy. I'm trying to think of something more clever, but I can't. I mean, what are you
like
thinking?
A baby.
Huh?
Like a baby.
Like a I don't know where
I hope you carry that way.
Please let me know what daycare you work at so I know what to avoid. No, but I mean, how do you do that? How do you catch a ball and then start swinging your arm and carrying the ball palming?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's funny, when a game started, the first camera shot that came in as the Saints went into the very first huddle.
Oh, yeah.
And Coleman's back was to the camera. And I remember making a joke that, you know, it's disconcerting that we're in playoff football and the first thing I see is Coleman, you know. Right. And then they open up with a pass to Coleman.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, and like you said, I mean, they obviously had him in the game plan. And, I mean, he wound up catching what?
Five balls, I believe.
Five, I think? Yep. Yeah, you know, which is way over his norm.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tomas had the name off. We have one a day, one a day plus iron. Yeah. And after that, we had to make them up on the
calcium
fly.
Calcium and some other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was you. You went down the whole periodic table trying to
calcium, magnesium, whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, how, you know, I don't know. I have no idea why the guy had the ball out there where he had it.
Look, this is a an obvious thing for people who are looking to become athletes. When you do something wrong a couple of times, it's a mistake. When you do the same thing wrong over and over, it's a learned experience. Coleman is a guy that I'm sure he's been being told, dude, you have to hold the ball in. You got to bring the ball in. When you get in traffic, cover the ball. I'm sure the coaches have been yelling and screaming at him this over and over. But when he gets into the game and he gets into that game mode, he reverts back to good old Brandon Coleman. I'm going to hold that ball out here, you know, like I'm a basketball player. Well, okay, then this is what we're going to get. Well, now, it didn't cost us anything, and I'm going to say to you, Dave, you bring us all up, woulda, coulda, shoulda, in the words of our old coach. He fumbled it, we recovered it, end of the story. We still got the ball, let's keep going. And he's got to put it out of his head that way, too. He can't go back and sit in the hall and go, oh, man, I'm sorry, guys, I fumbled it. I'll try my best. No, no. You say, hey, you know what? I fumbled it. Screwed up. All right, let's keep going. So that's what I would say.
I saw Josh Hill make a catch. A little catch. Turned around, like 5 yards, 7 yards. Turn around, get upfield, and in both hands on the ball like a fullback.
The
point is, I get it. You're not going to be as elusive when you have two hands on the ball. But there comes a point when you're not the guy that we're looking to break some tackles,
Michael Thomas,
shake somebody, all these different things. We want you to catch the ball, get your yards, get down, and do not turn the ball over.
Yeah.
And the fact that, again, I agree with you, learn behavior, whatever, I still can't for the life of me figure out how somebody who's in a position that Coleman in. He doesn't have a long-term contract. He's not making a lot of money. It's not like he's just implanted or embedded into the Saints organization where, you know, I can make some mistakes. I'm not going to. And then choose to carry the ball like that and jeopardize whatever the Saints had going on, because we played a very clean game with the exception of the Drew Brees interception, which, you know, that interception, not to excuse it so much as saying, if he didn't throw it, I'd be yelling like, why the hell didn't you just throw the ball up in the air? Who cares who catches it?
Right.
But the point is, we played a clean game. We didn't turn the ball over outside of that. And for him to do that, if we turn that ball over, who knows what the outcome is? He needs to, in his head, understand that he needs to protect the ball, because he is not the guy that we're looking to make big plays and make out of the game plan type impact on the game. That's what we have Kamara for. That's what we have Thomas for. They go beyond the X's and O's. He's a guy that's just an X and O guy. Hey, listen, if he's not open, we're going to go to you because you're the second option or the third option, and you're going to make a play. Then you're going to get down. We're going to get the ball. We're going to do something else. And I'm just – I don't know. I'm in my little tirade right now, but to me it's just inexcusable.
Yeah.
I mean, he fumbles right there. To me, and I'm not saying this as a fan. I'm saying this if I'm the coach. To me, he's already solidified the fact that you're not bringing him back. Why would you bring back somebody who, when you do put him in a position to make a play, he turns the ball over? You know, the running back that fumbles all the time. Look, yeah, we don't have a spot for you unless you're an all-star type player. Yeah. So anyway,
that said, right now we can't get rid of him.
No. Right
there's
now,
nobody
hey,
else.
We're at the dance now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I'm still not sure what the Snead story is, but, you know.
Oh, he got his
one. He got one pass.
He got one.
Yeah, okay.
And that's something we won't find out until the offseason. But I do think that
something's going on.
Obviously, there's something much bigger than we know about. That just his demise. There's just so much more to it. Now, Tomas, did you hear Cam Jordan? We were talking a little earlier about locker room material or bulletin board material.
I left it all on the floor.
Well, Cam Jordan calls Khalil a speed bump. Did you hear that?
Oh yeah. You know, Cam Jordan. Yeah. Okay.
Cam Jordan. Yeah. Not
Cam
Newton. Not
Cam.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I know this whole story, but go ahead.
Oh, well, tell us the story.
Well, when the game was all over, and Cam said, you know, look, he's just a bump in the road, right? But I really appreciate it, you know, and I appreciate everything that they did. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna send him a bottle of wine. I'm going to send him a real nice bottle of wine.
Something about this story don't seem like it goes, but. No.
And so he sent them a bottle. It was posted on the Twitterverse.
Oh, okay.
He sent him a bottle of Jordan wine. Now, Jordan Winery in California makes some really good wine. Okay. I've had my share of bottles. And so he sent it, you know, they show where he sent it to him, Jordan Winery. Well, now Jordan Winery responds and says, man, we really appreciate you sending it. And, you know, we got something in common here, Jordan.
Let's do something.
Exactly right. So now, I'm looking forward to seeing Cam Jordan doing some commercials for Jordan 1.
Nice, man. Listen,
there you go.
Hour number two, right away, straight ahead. Don't go anywhere. The BS and Beer Podcast Crew, 97.7 Sports Talk. Hey, don't forget to download and listen to hour number two. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to like us, friend us, follow us, and let the rest of the world know that we're out here. We appreciate you guys.